For any of our children who would like, we have children's church, and you may be dismissed, as I know you don't want to listen to me drone on. This morning, I want us to look at a bit of an unusual subject matter, I think, something we don't often think about, and that is the paradox of the gospel. A paradox is two statements, or as we are using it at least, a paradox is two statements or two positions that appear to be diametrically opposed, but when examined closely, they work hand in hand. And so I have chosen two scriptures, both of them from the book of Matthew, hopefully to highlight this, and those are on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to follow along with me or if you would like to go to your Bible. Ye have, Matthew 5, verses 43 through 46, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Then Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth not son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. May God add to the reading of his scripture. You know, when I think about paradox, when I look at these scriptures, we all have kind of both impulses in us. That's difficult to say, isn't it? Recently, I came out of Tractor Supply. For those of you who are familiar with Sherman, I came out of Tractor Supply and got on the access road going west. And someone came off of 75 there at that intersection by the big Walmart, and instead of crossing the highway and turning left, they turned left going in the wrong direction. Well, I started honking my horn and waving, you know, obviously you're going the wrong direction on a one-way street, and a very busy one-way street also. Instead of stopping and turning around and, you know, whatever, they rolled down their window, extended their hand, and made an obscene gesture to me and kept going. My thought was, well, I tried. We'll see what happens with this. How should we be? It's like, what do I do? There was a part of me that says, they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them. There's another part of me that says, I'd like to follow them, stop them, and, you know, jerk them out of there and slap them good. Which was it? What are we supposed to do as Christians? And that's what I want us to try and get a grasp on this morning. How should we react to others? How do we react to the world that we live in? One of the realities of this world is that people will hurt your feelings. If I went around this morning, if I went around the congregation and said, each of you tell me about an experience that you've had sometime in your life where someone did you wrong or when someone hurt you, I am certain that we could get a story from every single individual in here. We could probably stay here for days discussing what other people have done that have hurt us. It has happened to everyone and will continue to happen. And one of the things you learn as you become an adult is that you're going to have to get a little bit of thick skin, because that's going to happen in the future. One of the things that my mentor, when I started in the ministry, did his best to drill into me, I have heard him say 100 times, son, don't take it personal when people hurt your feelings. It's going to happen. We live in a fallen world, and people don't recognize sometimes, and sometimes they do. Sometimes they intentionally do things to hurt you, and you're going to have to learn to deal with that. I know of many illustrations that I could give you of being a minister, especially when people kind of stepped out there and stepped on our toes a little bit. And you must learn, if you're going to be in ministry, to have thick skin, to kind of let that stuff flow off like water's off a duck's back. But it's the same in whatever field you're in. You know, I worked for a school district for many years, and I had people that hurt my feelings on a regular basis. I've been in various other, and in accounting and doing taxes, and I guarantee you there will be people upset and people do things they shouldn't do on a regular basis, and you have to learn to deal with that. The bottom line, we are all just people, every one of us. We are all fallible. We all make mistakes. Sometimes we let our egos get in control of us. Sometimes all of us get to thinking a bit more of ourselves than we probably ought to. Remember a man telling me, he said, if you get to where you think too much of yourself, go tell your neighbor's dog what to do and see what happens. Won't listen to you, will he, right? We get that way sometimes. We are just people, and sometimes we are going to do things that are wrong. It is a matter of perspective in a lot of ways. But it goes deeper than that. If you are a Christian, if you take up the mantle of saying, I am a follower of Jesus Christ, then it must go farther than just forgiving people. You and I must reach out to those people. I want to use an illustration from my youth, and this is, I'll be honest, a bit painful for me. When I was a boy, I'm going to say 5 years old, 4 or 5, I went with my dad down to a storehouse. He was going to hire some labor. There were some men there. And I met this young man, saw him for the first time. His name was Mickey Vaughn. Mickey had been spanked or something. He was crying. He was a couple of years older than I was. And there I was standing there with my dad, and there he was crying. And I'm sure it embarrassed him. He decided, I believe, from that moment forward that he hated me. A few days later on the playground, he got me down, beat me up pretty good. Had bloody nose and some bruises. He tore me up pretty good. He was a couple of years older than I was. Had the ability. He was kind of a bully. A few years later, he tried it again by the time I was in 9th grade, and I had grown quite a bit. I was pretty stout back then. He wasn't quite successful, and I was able to fend him off, and I was quite proud of myself that I was able to do that. Later, when we were in high school, it went so far that he attempted to kill me. He was going to shoot me, and thank God he was too drunk to get it done. But that was kind of the battle that he and I had off and on all through our youth. I saw him the last time when I was probably 35 or so and had a couple of kids of my own. I ran onto him in a store. He glared at me, and I did at him. He said, I remember you. And I said, yeah, I remember you too. And we parted. And to be honest, I was quite proud of myself that I'd stood up to him all those years. About a month later, in a fit of rage and on drugs, he took a gun and killed himself. And that hit me really strange. I wasn't expecting that, to be honest. And as time has passed, I've thought back on that a lot. I never reached out to him to tell him about Jesus. You see, in all of the fuss and the fight, in all of the going back and forth, I maybe could have made a difference in where he spent eternity. I pray to God that in the last moments of his life he was able to get right with God. I don't know, and that is between he and God. But our little feud is ridiculous compared to eternity. As a Christian, I pray, God, forgive me for never going to that man when he became a grown man and telling him about Jesus. When you and I deal with people and they hurt our feelings, we need to understand it's a lot more than just our feelings. It's a lot more than just our egos. It's more than just he did me wrong or she did me wrong or whatever. It is the reality of eternity. We need to pray for those people desperately and earnestly that God will forgive them and that they will come to repentance. That's what Jesus meant, I believe, when he said, pray for the people that hate you. Pray for the people that despise you. There is more at stake than your ego, than your money, than anything else. There is the eternal resting place of an individual. And you and I must love people. That's our first statement. Second statement. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. This statement is a call to action. This is not about individuals. I mean, it is about individuals, but much more than that, it is about the world we live in and what we're doing. We are in a desperate fight against Satan himself. We literally are. It goes on every day all over our society. Ephesians 6:11 through 13 says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, stand. We are called to fight a war, a literal, all-out, in-the-trenches kind of war. When wicked people march through the streets chanting, we are coming for your children, we had better believe them. We ought to take them for their word, because that is what is going on. There is a greater assault mounted against young people today, I believe, than has ever existed in the history of mankind. Every direction you turn, everything you look at, seems to be a direct assault against our young people. We have computer now that we did not have years ago, and that does a lot of miraculous and great things, but there's also a world of evil that comes with that. And I'll be honest, it scares me to death for young kids to have access to a computer. You've heard me say it before. I will say it again. A child with a cell phone has access to the most hardcore pornography and evil that has ever existed. It's right there within a couple of clicks. And let me tell you, they will find it if mom and dad and the rest of society don't stand up and do something about it. It's not just that. There is enough drugs coming into this country to kill every single human being over and over and over and over. They're being stockpiled. Our young people are going to be subjected to that. It will kill young people. And it isn't just that. The child sex trade is growing faster than any criminal enterprise has ever grown in world history. I went to watch the movie The Sound of Freedom yesterday. Went by myself. I thought, gosh, I hope people don't think I'm some creepy old man sitting in here by myself, but whatever, I went anyway. And I can tell you it's not a feel-good movie. It's not a pleasant movie. But it's a movie we need to see. We need to understand. Children are being taken captive and sold into the sex trade at a massive rate. And it can happen in Sherman, Texas. I don't mean to scare you, but maybe I do. You need to be afraid. The evil in this world seems to be stronger now than it has ever been. And there is, as far as this world is concerned, there is only one safeguard, and that is Christian people. These evils exist because we allow them to exist. You know, there are a variety of kinds of sins. There are sins of commission. We're all familiar with that. If you go out and do something you shouldn't do, you know it's a sin. There are sins of omission. There are things you're supposed to do, and if you don't do them, it's sin. And there are sins of permission. When we allow things to happen, it is sin. When we allow things to happen in our homes and with our families and in our government, it's sin. America as a nation, I believe, will be held accountable for the sin that we are allowing to go on in our world today. We could stop it as a country. We have the power to close the southern border. We know it. We have the ability to stop the drug trade. Do you know how much drugs are sold in Saudi Arabia? None. None. They don't have a drug problem. Because someone caught dealing drugs, they kill them. Bam. End of problem. They don't have a drug problem. We could stop the child sex trade. We have the ability to do it. And you know why it's not done? Money. There are a lot of people making a tremendous amount of money from the evil and the suffering and the wickedness that's going on in our world today. We can't depend on our politicians to stop it. In fact, sometimes I think they're the cause of a great deal of it. And I'm not going to rail just on one side or the other. You kind of know the score. You're adults. You've seen what's going on. The wickedness is not going to end because someone in Washington, D.C. votes to stop it. It's only going to end when Christian people stand up and say, we're not going to take it any longer. We are still the majority. If we could just all get together as Christians and say, listen, any politician, whatever party, any politician that votes in any way to authorize abortion will not get the Christian vote. period, coast to coast, you wouldn't have politicians that would stand up for that. If we said any politician that does not take steps to stop, concrete steps to stop the child sex trade, is going to be voted out of office, they would do it. Our politicians will do whatever they feel like they have to do to get reelected. But the truth is, we can't get Christian people together. We can't get the church together. There are a lot of churches today that preach this gospel that you're supposed to love everybody, regardless of what they do, accept everybody. LGBTQ, drug addict, it doesn't matter, anything, it all goes. Bring them all. And I have heard preachers say, in the end, everybody will go to heaven. It's okay. We need to end that kind of gospel in Christian churches. We need to go back to saying, if you are disobedient to God, if you are involved in this wickedness, you're going to go to a devil's hell. But we don't. We could do this. So what do we do? God is calling you and I to carry on this fight. You know, in this movie that I went and watched, a lot of people at the very beginning said, yeah, it's in foreign countries. These children that are kidnapped are taken to Colombia or Mexico or Venezuela or wherever, and there's nothing we can do. We can't get to them. And this one man said, yes, I think I can, and I'm going to. We need that spirit in the church today. What shall we do? I am so thankful for people who work in our school systems, for teachers, for counselors, for principals, for the people who are going to make a difference every day in the lives of children. That's important. Whether you're going to public school or private school or wherever, we need people who are involved in the lives of children. I have a client who recently quit her job to start teaching. She was making a lot of money, but she believed God was speaking to her and saying she could make more of a difference in children's lives by teaching than she could by running the business that she was running. And I pray that God give her success and that she not burn out. I know how difficult that is. Instead of complaining about what's wrong with our government, get involved. I tell every one of my clients, I give them this advice, and many of them do this. Make a campaign contribution to your congressman, to your senator. Make a contribution. It doesn't have to be massive. You don't have to be one of his biggest contributors. Make a contribution and get your name on the donor list. Because I promise you, if you have a problem with the IRS and you need help from a congressman, if you call them or write to them and say, I need your help, the first thing they will do is go to their donor list and see if your name's there. And if it is, they're very likely to help you. Well, maybe we ought to do that as Christians. Make a contribution to politicians and then call them and say, you know, I'm one of your contributors and this bill is coming up that would do whatever. I want you to vote against that. If enough of us will get together and do that, it will have a real impact. Go to school board meetings. I know, they're boring. I went for 15 years. I did not miss a school board meeting every month. I had to take the minutes. It was my job to be there, but I was there. But I'm going to tell you something I learned in that. School administrators, especially superintendents, are scared to death of constituents. Anybody that will stand up and say, wait a minute, this is not right. They don't like that. They don't want that, and they won't deal with it. If you will go, and if you will be reasonable, they'll listen to you. If you'll go to city council meetings, and you're reasonable, there are some nuts that show up, but if you go and you're reasonable and you say, look, this is going on and I don't think it's right, they will listen to you. We can make a difference with our children, with our grandchildren. Never give up. My wife and I have recently, Becky and I have gone through this, and we had a long discussion about some people in our family, and almost to the point of tears, I said, you know, we can't give up. If we give up, they're lost. I think in the movie, everybody was saying, oh, you're just going to have to give up. You're going to have to let it go. If that man had given up, those children would have been lost the rest of their lives. A fate worse than death. If you have a lost person in your family, if you have a lost neighbor, if you give up, then they're lost. You are the example that they need to stay alive and to get back where they need to be. We're in a fight. I love everyone. I hate no one. The two statements are in perfect harmony. I love everyone. I hate sin. I hate the evil that is in this world. And I believe God hates it also. As Christian people, we have an obligation and a duty. Stand up, gird your loins, reaffirm, recommit. Whatever you've got to do, let's reach out and try to make a difference outside of our church. Please stand. If our pianist will come, our musicians. So what are we going to do this week? We're going to pray and fast. Don't forget tomorrow. We've talked about some things that you can pray for and that you can fast about. Let's do that. Let's volunteer. Go to schools, go to government, go to wherever and get involved, engage. Vote Christian, and then pray some more.